Let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I brought this as a Bible lesson to the folks over in Wichita Falls, Texas yesterday. And I hope it'll benefit you as much as I believe it benefited them. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. God did. Wasn't a bunch of scientists who got together and said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to call this darkness and night. We're going to call this day." No, God called it day. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And that's the title to my message this morning, The First Day. What is a day? What is a day? Well, it's a 24-hour cycle which God set in motion at the very beginning, of creation. God began, he set his light in the heavens, and everything in this world began to revolve around that light. It's a 24-hour cycle which God set in motion, and with both darkness and light are manifested upon his creation. It's something so important that he's purposed to repeat it throughout all generations. He said to Noah directly after the flood, he said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Whatever it is that he's manifesting in this thing he calls a day, he's going to play it out over and over and over and over until the end of time. And then in Psalm chapter 19, the Holy Spirit teaches us this. This day is not just something that God did so we could tell time, or something that we could, when it's accumulated, we could tell seasons, tell when it's time to plant, when it's time to harvest. It does those things. We all go by that. We all know that. But that's not the purpose behind this thing. In Psalm chapter 19, he tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the environment, the firmament, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, he said, uttereth speech. God's teaching something here. God's saying something here when that sun comes up and when the sun goes down. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's something to be learned when the sun goes down. There's something to be learned when the sun comes up. And this something is something that God has purposed to repeat over and over and over throughout time. In the earth, David said, he hath set a tabernacle. He's built a church for the sun to speak. And it utters its knowledge to us. It gives us, God speaks to us. Not just to measure time or mark seasons and tell us when to plant, but today's real significance is its spiritual relationship with Christ and that new creation that He will create within His people. In Job chapter 9, verse 33, our Lord is referred to as the days man. The days man. I had to look that up. I didn't know what it meant. The days man. It means someone who reconciles men and women out of darkness. That's what a days man is. And he brings them into the light. Now, I've got seven things concerning this first day of God's old creation that have a direct correlation with the new. I'm not going to give you these little scant scriptures over here that somebody's going to go home and say, well, I don't know how in the world he got that out of that. I'm going to give you plain scriptures. I'm going to give you scriptures where the Holy Ghost took a pen back here in this creation, drawed it all the way over to this creation. So that we can see this in this first day. This first day. I believe this first day declares what every day of God's purpose is to the end of time. Now, I know there's all kinds of things that goes on in the world, but I'll tell you there's one thing that's going on in the world. God's saving His sheep. That's what's been going on the first day, and that's what's going to be going on the last day. He's going to save His sheep. You read over in the book of Peter, he'll tell you that. That's why he's preserving this world, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when the last one comes, that's it. That's it. So let's look at these seven things. First of all, the light, which the Lord called day, is used to describe the revelation of Christ in the sinner. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. What God was about to do in the old creation necessitated light. God's purpose in this world is to manifest His glory. It's to show His glory. That's why He created it. That's what salvation is all about. That's why He appointed Christ as the mediator, to show His glory. And first and foremost, when I get up to preach, what's on my mind the most is this. I want to glorify God with what I've got to say. I don't care if y'all go home mad. I want to glorify Him. And if I can glorify Him and we can fellowship, boy, yahoo, I'm excited. I'm glad. But if we can't, we just can't. But my first goal is this. I want to glorify Him. I want what I say to be true and uncompromising of His glory. Of His glory. And that's what's going on here in creation, and it necessitates light. It necessitates light. The eternal purpose of God is to redeem chosen sinners for the glory of His name, and this, the first order of business in that is light, isn't it? It's light. Now watch this here in 2 Peter 1:19. Peter's declaring to those people that he writes to, these Gentile churches that were established here, and this is his second general epistle to these people, and he's writing in here, and he's telling them that he's an apostle and assuring them that he is an apostle of Christ. And he says some things here about being on the Mount of Transfiguration, about seeing all those things. But now listen to what he says here in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Isn't that something how the Holy Spirit, well, all the way over there to Genesis 1 and just draws a line all the way over here to the conversion of God's elect. He tells us what this day is about. It's about this beginning of light. It's about this revelation of Christ in a man's soul. How does it come? It comes through the preaching of the gospel. And that's what Peter tells him. He said, you do well to listen to me and keep on listening to me until the day star, until the day dawn and the day star rise and fill your heart with light. The day star is the sun, and as the sun rises up, chases away the darkness, even so Christ, our day star, is that light of revelation with which he floods the great void and chaos within us. The Apostle Paul described his calling to the Galatian church as the revelation of Christ in him. That's what he said. Christ in him. The first order of business in creation, both old and new, is the revelation of life. Conversion is not born in adversity. That which is born in the storm will die in the calm. I guarantee you that. It's born of light. It's born of light. This is what he's teaching us here. This old creation is a picture of the new. And the very first thing, the first order of business is light. Why, if you didn't have any light, you'd still be wandering around in darkness. You'd still be following the blind leading the blind. You'd both be in a ditch. First order of business is light. It's light. Conversion's born of light. We're born of incorruptible seed by the word of God. And that, Peter said, is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I want you to see this clearly. This passage here in Luke has to do with the ministry and calling of John the Baptist. Now watch this here in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation. That's light, ain't it? To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby, now watch this, the day spring from on high hath visited us. Whoa, the day spring from on high. The one from whom that first day sprang. That's who's come to visit us. Very God, very God. Old John said, this then is the message that I've received and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is the God-man. He's ever with God. He's God come into the flesh. He's the day spring. He's the source and cause of the day. All things were made by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the day's man, he's the day star, and he's the day spring. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells us that we are children of the day. Of the day. Isn't that what he calls it? He said, you're not children of the darkness, you're children of the day. Of the day, you're children of light. Children of light, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And then he says this in the scripture, today is the day of salvation, when the light shines. That's the day of salvation. Not when the darkness falls, but when the day star comes up. That's the day of salvation, today, today. Light marks the revelation of Christ both in the old creation and in the new. Alright, here's the second thing I see that directly connects the old creation with the new. The appearance of light establishes God's absolute sovereignty in this thing of creation. God said, let there be light. And it spit and sputtered, and after a while it evolved into light. I ain't what that says. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I struggle sometimes. I preach to folks until I just begin to cry and shake. I want them to believe so bad. I just somehow I'd like to take the top of their head off and just shove it in. I just can't. I want them to know these things. I want them to see these things. But I'm telling you this. It ain't going to happen until God commands His light to shine. You can preach till you're blue in the face. But until God commands that light, when He commands that light to shine, He'll flood the void. He'll flood it with light. It manifests and establishes God's absolute sovereignty. Let there be light, and there was. That's my experience. What about you? Huh? God ever commanded His light to shine in your heart? It shines when He tells it to, don't it? It shines. Most of you didn't even want it. Wasn't looking for it. Creation wasn't looking for light, was rejoicing in darkness. He commanded the light, commanded it to shine, and it shined. It shined. Creation was not the joint venture of God and Mother Nature. I was listening to a man on TV talking about that the other night. I thought, how foolish. Not the joint venture of God and the elements or of God and circumstance. Creation is according to the sovereign decree of God. God said to Job, he was getting irritated, I suppose, with his sorry comforters, and Job climbed up the ladder a little too high. God brought him down. Everything Job was telling them was so. But he was telling them he was a little too lofty in his speech. And God brought him down and he said, now I'm going to ask of you. And you gird up your loins like a man and you answer me. And here's one thing he asked him. He said, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? When that sun come up, did you command it? Did you have anything to do with it? He didn't have nothing to do with it. That's what he tells it. Have you caused the day spring to know its place? Do you by your will say, well, it's time for the sun to come up. I'm willing now. Come on up. Here's your place over here. Shine on me. I'm ready now. Is that how this thing is? That's what God's asking, Joe. Since you were born, have you ever commanded the morning? You ever caused the day spring to know His place? Well, that's what men and women are doing all over the world today, attempting to cause the day star to rise up by their own authority and will. I tell you what Paul said. He said, it's not of him that willeth, and it's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the creator, we're the creature. Who art thou that repliest against God? And as it was in the old creation when God commanded His light to shine out of darkness, even so, Paul said, has shined in our hearts. Now, let me tell you something. It's as foolish to think that the light of God that He first commanded to shine in His old creation could be resisted. You can't even conjure that thought up in your mind. I thought when I wrote this down, that's just ridiculous. You can't even conjure up in your mind the thought of creation resisting the light of God when He commanded it to shine. Can you even conjure in your mind being able to go out here tomorrow morning and command the sun not to come up? Or when it does, not to shine on you. You shine on everybody else, don't shine on me. You can't even conjure up a thought like that. But that's what men and women are saying about salvation, isn't it? That God's light can be resisted. God's commandment can be resisted. It can't be resisted. He just ain't commanded it to shine on you. That's what our Lord told those Jews. If thou be the Christ, tell us plain. If you're the light, that's all you talked about now for three chapters, is your light, I'm the light, I'm the light of the way. If you're the light, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. I told you. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. I ain't shining on you. I tell you, that's how I know. Paul said, I know you're, told those Thessalonians, he said, I know your election of God. Because my gospel came not in word only. Huh? My gospel came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you. So that first day was a manifestation of God's absolute sovereignty in creation. And that light, when it shines in the soul of a lost sinner, is a declaration of God's absolute sovereignty. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And then thirdly, I want us to look at the preeminence of the first day in creation. This is the first thing God did. He's not going to do anything apart from this light. Everything God did was under this light. God set His Son in the heavens and commanded everything else to revolve around it. Everything else. Everything in our solar system goes around the sun. And as everything revolves around the sun, even so concerning all things in creation, providence, and salvation, they all revolve around Christ in the spiritual realm. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. They maintain their order. They maintain their purpose. They're preserved to the end for which they were created. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. That's a violation of the Trinity. He quick to tell us there in Colossians chapter 1, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Wasn't a violation, it was the purpose of God. The purpose of God. It pleased the Father. And if Christ has such a preeminence in the old creation, do you think He'll be given any less in the new? Christ is preeminent. He has the preeminence. He has the preeminence. He's the head of the body, the church. Listen, who is the beginning? That's who the head of the body is, He who is the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of all things. He's the beginning. Take away Christ, there's no, what's the purpose in creation? Be no creation. Be no garden, be no fall, be no salvation, be no promise of heaven, be no angel. Take away Christ, you just took away the purpose for everything. He's preeminent. You see that preeminence of light in creation? He's the beginning. Some of you attended when I taught through Genesis and Genesis 1. I taught, He's the beginning before the beginning. Christ. And He's the beginning of all things in this new creation too. Those who truly worship God willingly, lovingly, they give Him the preeminence in all things. They give Him the preeminence in their pulpits and in their conversions and in their daily walk and even in the glory. It says the saints shall all, in that day in glory, when all God's saints are called up there. It tells us in Revelation that they all had crowns. They were all kings and priests under their God. But when they come before the Lamb, they took the crown off and threw them down His feet. He has the preeminence. Is that your experience? Does Christ have preeminence in your faith? He's preeminent in the believer's faith because He's preeminent in that new creation. There is no believing apart from Christ. And then fourthly, this first day declares and manifests the presence and power of God. Nothing and no one has the ability to create except God. That's it. That's it. In the beginning it says God. God created. Only God could. And listen to him. He had nothing to build on. He had nothing to build with. There was nothing to be seen or had. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 tells us that faith understands this. It understands that the worlds were framed by the word of God and that they were not made of things which do appear. God created out of nothing. That's the way he creates in the second creation. God ever show you your nothingness? I tell you, he did on the first day. He commanded his light to shine, and what was down there? A void. That's all there was. Chaos. There was nothing there to build on, nothing there to build with. If there's going to be order, God's going to have to bring the order. You see what I'm saying? And that's exactly the way it is in the new creation. That man born of God. God creates in him, and it's all owing to God. There's nothing owing to the man. What God created, he made from nothing. In Romans chapter 3, it talks about us before conversion being under sin. He said, we're void of goodness, none righteous, none good, none that understandeth, all void of fear, no fear of God before their eyes, void of understanding, void of interest, none that seeketh God. Let me tell you something. Paul preached this on Mars Hill. He said, in God, in him, we live and move and have our being. In him. In him. And that first day of creation, it marks the presence and power of God. He's the day spring. He's the source of it. He purposed it. He commanded it. But he himself is light. He is light. He said, I am the light of the world. To have any perception of anything spiritual, you must first have the presence and power of God. But that's the question, ain't it? Ain't that the question? I know it is. I've asked it 1,000 times. That's the question. Well, I know a little bit about this and I know a little bit about that, but how do I know if it's God working in me? You got any light? Have you got any light? God is light. You have light, you have God. You have God. Have you got any light? To have the light of Christ is to have Christ. Christ is synonymous with light. He said, I am the light. I am the light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, John said, we lie and tell not the truth. We lie to ourselves and lie to those around us. If I say I have fellowship with God, I've been brought into favor with God. I love him and he loves me. If I say that, but I go out and walk in darkness, then I lie. But, he said, if we walk in the light. Now listen, as he is the light. God himself, light. If I can walk in the light, as he is the light, seeing myself in him, seeing myself redeemed in him, seeing my righteousness in him, my hope in him, if I walk in the light, as he is the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And now listen, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have I got any light? Then I have God. I have God. And then fifthly, The light of the first day was commanded to shine to manifest the glory of God. I want you to look at this with me over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Of what benefit would it be to create in darkness? You ever thought about that? No one could perceive any difference between chaos and order, between void and fullness, between ruin and glory. If God created in darkness, nobody could see it. It wouldn't manifest anything. It wouldn't accomplish anything. God commanded the light because He purposed to manifest His glory. Now let's look here and see that line that the Holy Ghost draws from that first creation to the second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Now listen. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what that first day is all about. That's what every day is all about. And that's what the day is going to be in you if the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. It's going to be to flood your heart, mind, and soul with the glory of God. It's the glory of God that floods the hearts of chosen sinners, that turns them to God from their idols, that turns them from the direction they walk to Him. Years ago, I pastored a church down in Ball, Louisiana, and one of the men of the church owned an old seafood restaurant. Man, it was good. We'd go there on Friday nights, and he had a seafood buffet, all you could eat. I hope I'm making you hungry, because it's making me hungry. And I went down there the other day, first time I'd been down there in years and years, and we went over there, and as soon as I pulled in the parking lot, I could smell that smell. But we was in there on one particular night, and there was a family in there, and they had this little, I guess he was about 2 years old. And they had, when you went through the line and got all your stuff, they had these little half ears of corn and butter, and it was a spiced butter. And that little two-year-old had that ear of corn with that little stick on it, and he done ate all the corn. We just having a big time watching him, and he had corn all over. And they got ready to leave, and it was cold. And they were trying to get his coat on him, and he wouldn't turn loose that corn. And they threatened him. Man, he'd hold on to that ear of corn, them little eyes all swelled up, but he wasn't going to turn loose that corn. And then they tried to coax him to do it, you know, and he wouldn't do it. They tried everything. He would not turn loose that corn. He'd just scream at the top of his lungs when they tried to get him. And finally, the restaurant owner come over, and he said, I couldn't help but notice your dilemma. He said, do you care if I try? And we tried everything. Go ahead. He pulled out a Hershey bar. As soon as he did, he dropped that corn, reached for that Hershey bar. That's what I'm telling you about this light. When the light of God's glory floods the soul, you see something better. And when you see something better, you turn from what you had hold of. You turn it loose. You drop it. It's useless. It's gone. Here's something better. Let me have this. This is what I want. I want this. Not until the soul is flooded with the light of God's glory in Christ will it ever turn loose of this world. And then sixthly, the light of this first day marked the goodness of God in creation. He tells us back in Genesis chapter 1 that God saw the light, that it was good, and He called it day. What need have we anymore of the speculations and observations and opinions of men? I say, let God be true and every man a liar. God said this light is good. It's good. And if it was good, then it was a godly light. Because there's none good but God. It's a godly light. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ever since the first day, God gave me a peek, just a peek, into the Word of God to see something about this light, something about the glory of Christ. Everybody that I've talked to about it back in that day said this light was not good. Every last one of them. This is not a good light. This, you don't want to preach that. Don't go telling people that. That's a dark thing. Huh? He said it was light. And a good light. Oh, these are dark things. These are sealed things, secret things. No, it's light. It's light. He put it there for everybody to see it. Here it is. Here it is. Oh, I'm telling you, that's kind of questionable. I don't know if I'd preach that. No, he said it's a good thing. It's good light. It's a good light. And when the light of God truly eliminates the darkness of a seeking sinner, the goodness of God is what Paul said leads us to repentance. Huh? He floods that soul with that light, and all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you begin to see this thing in a different light. You begin to see this. This is the goodness of God. This wasn't that harsh God that I thought about. I'm back here wrestling over why in the world he'd hate Esau. Now I'm wondering why how he could love Jacob. And I know why he hated Esau. Huh? It's a different light. It's a different light. It's a good light. It's a good light because it shows us the willingness of God. If God wasn't willing to save, he'd have never commanded the light to shine, would he? Never would. And I tell you, it's a good sign, it's a good evidence that God intends to create when the light comes. When the light shines. That's a good indication. It shows us something about the willingness of God to save. It's a good light because it manifests the glory of God. And it's a good light because it honors the righteousness and justice of God. And it's a good light because it asks nothing for its benefits. He asks nothing in return. He just shines. He shines a light. He said, all right, now I'm going to shine a light, but now here's what you're going to have to do. No, he didn't do that. He shined. He shined a light. And it's a good light because it chases away the darkness. Old fella told Henry one time, he'd been arguing with him for about an hour. And he said, let me just give you an illustration. He said, salvation is like a large gray elephant. And he said, we're all blind. And he said, you got to hold the trunk and he said, you're feeling that trunk and you're telling me what you feel. And he said, this man down here at the Methodist church, he got a hold of his back leg. And he got a hold of that big elephant's leg and he's going up and down and he's describing what he's feeling. And another one down here at the Baptist church, he got a hold of his tail and he's describing that. And he got all done and Henry said, well, he said, I got two problems with what you said. And he said, what's that? Well, he said, first of all, salvation ain't got nothing to do with a large gray elephant. Nothing. And he said, God, people ain't blind. They're not blind. God shined the light. He shined the light. And then last of all, I want you to see that the first day manifested a division between darkness and light. It says, now I want you to listen to me carefully. This has an application to every one of us. It says God saw the light, that it was good. And he called the light day. And God divided the light from the darkness. Who did? God did. God did. What manifests the division is light. Don't get too angry. Don't get too angry when you're out here trying to witness. When you're out here trying to tell folks what you believe And I know in your heart you want them to believe, but don't get too angry with them. Don't build a wall too high they can't come back over. God makes the division. Light makes the division. Don't you make it. You let the light make it. The light makes the division. Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He said, if you were of this world would love you, but you're no longer of this world. And he said, and that's why they don't like you. It's my light in you. That's what's causing the division. In Luke chapter 12, verse 51, you might want to jot this down and look at it after a while. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. He said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Is that what you think? That's what he told him. His disciples kept telling him, you're going to offend these guys. Don't you know you're going to offend them? You offended them Pharisees. Don't you know that? After a while, the master looked at him. He said, suppose you that I come into this world to make peace. Is that what you think? To reform men and reconcile men to one another, to make the world one great big happy family. That's what religion's preaching. One big happy family. They walk up to anybody anywhere on the street and call them brother. Huh? Am I telling you the truth? He said, I tell you nay, but rather a division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws, mother-in-laws against daughter-in-laws, sisters, brothers, friends, go on and on and on. The light causes a division. Causes a division. And God makes the division. God commanded the division. It's not my goal or ambition to make a division. I'm not up here trying to make enemies. I'm not up here trying to run folks off. I'm not up here just trying to make you mad. I'm up here trying to tell you the truth. I'm up here trying, hoping that God through me will shine His light into your hearts. But I'm telling you this, this light causes divisions. Causes divisions. And that's what I come to see. God Himself, who is the light, makes the divisions. Let me give you this and I'll close. God has so purposed His light that it does not shine on everything and everybody all at once. He could not have divided the light from the darkness if there hadn't been any darkness. When He set His light in the heavens, it didn't shine over the whole earth all at once. It shined where He intended to create. That's where it shined. And as the earth turned, as He turned it, set it in motion to turn, you see what I'm saying? He created where the light shined. Created where the light shines. He created in 7 days. He could have created a whole outfit in one day, couldn't he? All he had to do was command it to be. But He didn't. He didn't. No. He created on 6 days. Created on 6 days. When it's daylight here, it's dark on the other side of the world. Where's that at? China? That's what we used to say. If you dug a hole in the ground and kept digging, you'd come out in China. Well, if that's true, it's dark in China. It's daytime here. Light is a thing of motion. It doesn't move itself, but things are drawn to it and drawn away from it. Light comes and then light moves and light's gone. There's a season for light. That's what I'm trying to say to you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, He said, the Holy Ghost saith, And I want you to look at that. When you get home, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and look at this. I showed this to Walter several years ago. It's the only place in the Bible I know of where the word today is capitalized. Capitalized. The Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. And then He has quite a bit to say, and then He goes on to say, but exhort one another while it's called, and again it's capitalized, today. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There is a day of salvation, and the Scripture said it's today. It's today. When is it day? It's day when the light comes. When the light comes. Today. Today. Well, I pray that the Lord will use those things to help you and encourage you. Cause us to rejoice and worship Him. Light. The first day, God created this day, showed us what it was all about, and then He just plays it out over and over and over. And then when He comes down here and manifests His glory on the cross, and then He ascends into heaven and sends His Holy Spirit, and through the preaching of the gospel creates His elect anew in their hearts, this same day He's showing it to you. This day, we can see this day as clear today as they saw it at the first day. Here it is. It's today. And He draws these lines, just draws them in the Scriptures over here, and shows us the light of Christ. May He be pleased to do that with us today. Thank you.